We hear again a few of the verses from the reading of Isaiah 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In the name of Jesus. What do you do when the Lord gives you a promise? A promise which saves you from the trouble you're looking at and gives you life. And King Ahaz was in some deep trouble. The threat against his kingdom was imminent. To remember where this happens, he reigned as king in Jerusalem some 700 years before Jesus was born. And Ahaz was looking at threats from the north of his kingdom, coming from the northern tribes and from Syria. And Ahaz does not have the army to stop it. But the Lord sends his prophet Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him that the enemies would not be able to destroy Jerusalem, but that they themselves would be destroyed and Jerusalem kept safe. That's good news, of course, but it's also not easily believable. Not when you're looking at just the opposite, as you look at the foreign armies. The foreign kings are much too strong. So to give Ahaz the comfort and confidence that Jerusalem would be safe, the Lord said to him, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." Isaiah 7:11. So we might think that Ahaz would be ready to jump on this. Why not tell God to change the weather, perhaps, as a sign, or to move the stars in the sky, or something like that? Take God up on his offer and have him do something to show that his promise is solid. Isaiah 7:12. But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Well, that sounds pious, to not put the Lord to the test. But the problem is, it's not putting the Lord to the test, to do what the Lord tells you to do. And the Lord had just told Ahaz to ask him for a sign for himself. The Lord was about the business here of giving a promise. He was giving a gift to Ahaz, and the gift included doing something to confirm the gift in order to give Ahaz and Jerusalem the confidence of knowing that the Lord was indeed with them, even when the events said the opposite. If Ahaz asked the Lord to do a sign, that would mean that the Lord is right there in the mix of things with Jerusalem, that the Lord, in using creation to give this sign, is close and has included himself in Israel's daily life. It's better, or at least maybe seems safer, Ahaz is thinking, to keep the Lord distant. Because after all, Israel is sinful and the Lord is holy. Maybe we don't want the Lord too close to us, Ahaz would have thought. Isaiah 7:12, Ahaz said to the Lord, "I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test." But the Lord is not going to be kept a long way off from his people. He will not stay distant from this nation he loves. The Lord then said to Ahaz, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 7:14. So there it is, the promise of a Savior. The promise that we hear every Christmas Eve, sometimes from the lips of the children. It's a strange sign, though, to give to King Ahaz, who, we remember, lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus. But there it is, the promised Savior. This is the promise that's already been given. Ahaz should have known about it. It was given to Adam and Eve back in the garden. and to Abraham and others, but here it is given anew, given again as we're approaching the generation when the Savior will actually be born. This Savior, according to this promise, will be given by the Lord himself. This Savior will be brought forth in a miraculous birth, given a virgin. And the Savior will be known by a name, Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us. So in this whole account, the prophet Isaiah first has us looking at Ahaz, a scared king, looking at the coming destruction of his city. But Isaiah moves us from that to the promise of God coming in the flesh. The salvation is bigger than just Ahaz in his Jerusalem. The salvation from God is God himself coming in the flesh to be God with us. God with us to save us, to take our sin upon himself, even God with us to die for us. So in Advent, the church hears the Lord's word preparing us for the coming Christ child. This is the Savior foretold throughout all the generations of Israel. He is the one to release guilt, to take away sin, to cover shame. He is God with us. He comes then from the Father in heaven, and his mother is a virgin here on earth. Along with Ahaz, we in our sin are tempted to consider God to be a God far off, to keep him at arm's length, not involved with our struggles from day to day. But his name is Emmanuel, God with us. He became God with us at his birth from the Virgin Mary. But even better, he became God with us, to each of us, by joining us to himself in our baptisms. It is all according to promise. He is with us in our sin to forgive, with us in our shame to give honor, with us in our fear to give us the promise of life. Good to his promise, he is with us in our lives, in our families, restoring us, reconciling us to one another, always being our God, because that's his name, Emmanuel. In the name of Jesus, amen.